Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later in the recording, dear ones, we are going to proceed with the second study of the youth. But before we begin, we would like to ask any one of the dear brethren that would like to open our youth study with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this very high privilege being able to gather together where we are on this, your blessed Sabbath day. We thank you, O Lord, for the mercy and grace that you poured out on us and provided us with all things throughout the full week. And we thank you, O Lord God, for your loving kindness that you blessed us with on this crowning Sabbath day. We pray, Almighty God, that you please continue to move upon our hearts and minds. Help us to be attentive in all that we're listening to, that we may be able to remember what we learned and be able to carry it forward throughout the new week that is before us. Amen. We pray that you please bless us and cause us to love each other more fervently each and every day, regardless of our distance, regardless of how close we are, regardless, dear Lord God, of what we are going through. Let us be mindful to pray for each other, lift up each other in love and grace, glorify your name, and help to win more souls to you, Lord Jesus. Again, we pray again for those who are sick and recovering, and pray for those who are in need, those who are maybe feeling lonely, those who are going through financial or physical, mental, emotional difficulties. We pray for them, dear Lord. And we pray, O Lord God, that your name be glorified as we are worshiping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are in our new chapter 24, entitled Without a Wedding Garment. And I'm going to place just a minute the links. Just give me a few seconds. For those that are not able to see the screen, I'm going to place the information in the room that you may have access to it as well. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. We are in chapter 24 entitled Without a Wedding Garment. Last Sabbath, by God's grace, we had just read the first part of our new chapter. I'm just going to reread the first one just to allow us to refresh our memory. And also invite the Holy Spirit to help us that we may be able to have what it is that he wants to communicate with us today. The last paragraph that we read last Sabbath, it reads, in this parable, as in that of the Great Supper, are illustrated the gospel invitation, its rejection by the Jewish people and the call of mercy to the Gentiles. But on the part of those who rejected the invitation, this parable brings to view a deeper insult and a more dreadful punishment. The call to the feast is a king's invitation. It proceeds from one who is vested with power to command. It confers high honor, yet the honor is unappreciated. The king's authority is despised, while the householder invitation was regarded with indifference. The king's is met with insult and murder. They treat his servant with scorn, despitefully using them and slaying them. This is where we are going to pick up, dear ones, where it reads, the householder on scene is visitation slighted. Who would like to take this paragraph, the first one?
The householder, as seeing his invitation slighted, declared that none of the men who are bidden should taste of his supper. But for those who had done despite to the king, more than exclusions from the presence of the table is decreed. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city.
I would like to ask, just for the sake of clarity, is it better for me to highlight for you all to read it, or should I leave it the way how it is? Would you like for us to keep it highlighted or to leave it in the original background?
I think anyway, either is good enough.
Okay. Now, who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
In both parables, the feast is provided with guests. But the second shows that there is a preparation to be made by all who attend the feast. Those who neglect this preparation are cast out. The king came in to see the guests, and saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Does anyone would like to be able to share what they have observed in the first two paragraphs that we began to read in our study? May you unmute your mic to do so, dear. Continuing, who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
O Lord, that sent out the dog and the household, the kingdom of God was in, and calling upon men. Those who were bidden to the feast did not come. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and my fatling. This was
I'm sorry, my father. Dad, when you come very close to your computer, sometimes you're clear, but I don't know, it gets distorted a little bit. So, kind of give yourself a little space in between that maybe it might just regulate.
Let's see. I'm going to try. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. Is that okay? My oxen and my saplings. Okay. already in the marriage. This was the message born to the Jewish. But the nation that claimed to be God's peculiar people rejected the gospel of them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many did this in the most scornful manner. The offer of pardon for rejecting the Lord of glory that day. The purpose of the message was a great persecution. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Many both of men and women might cross the prison. Some of the Lord's messengers, as Stephen and James, were put to death.
Amen. Thank you. But I'm going to ask if anyone would like to kind of reread the paragraph for the sake of those that will be listening on the recording, because we had a little bit of stuck in the voice of my dear brother that was reading. Who would like to reread it for the sake of the recording, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The call to the feast had been given by Christ's disciples. Our Lord had sent out the 12 and afterward the 70, proclaiming that the kingdom of God was at hand, and calling upon men to repent and believe the gospel. But the call was not heeded. Those who were bidden to the feast did not come. The servants were sent out later to say, "Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all the things are ready. Come unto the marriage." This was the message born to the Jewish nation after the crucifixion of Christ. But the nation that claimed to be God's peculiar people rejected the gospel brought to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many did this in the most scornful manner. Others were so exasperated by the offer of salvation, the offer of pardon for rejecting the Lord of glory, that they turned upon the bearers of the message. There was a great persecution, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Both of men and women were thrust into prison, and some of the Lord's messengers, as Stephen and James, were put to death.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Who would like to be able to share what they have learned in this paragraph? I just want to tell you, this is the first time that I ever heard this part. Let me see if I can be able. You see this particular part? This was the message brought to the Jewish nation after the crucifixion of Christ. But the nation that claimed to be God's peculiar people rejected the gospel brought to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is the first time I ever heard this one. Would you like to be able to share, dear ones?
Well, I will just say this by God's grace. It kind of comes across to me as, in a way, for the present day as it is now, as the three angels' message going forth, and especially even the third, where there are many that profess to be servants of the living God, even though that they are, you know, the Lord still has his children inside various apostate Protestant churches and things like that. And yet the vast majority, they may even be exposed to this, and yet they are rejecting it. And the call to leave the worldly things and to adhere to the law of God, and especially the testing one on the fourth commandment, they actually are like that. They get very exasperated. I have experienced certain pushback on that in trying to share that word
with different people. So I see kind of like a parallel like that. There, you know, our own bay that is going forward, right?
Amen. And that's how, when I heard it the first time, I thought it was related to this time as well. But this is why it's such a blessing, that when we have the opportunity to read through the spirit of prophecy, more clarity is given, even in things that we haven't seen before. And I thank God for that. Who would like to take the next paragraph? Is there's no one else to be able to speak about that paragraph that we just did? We will just make the two next one for whoever would like to take the next turn, dear ones. May you unmute your mic?
Thus the Jewish people seal their rejection of God, of God's mercy. The result was foretold by Christ in the parable. The king sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. The judgment pronounced came upon the Jews in the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the nation. The third call to the feast represents the giving of the gospel to the Gentiles. The king said, "The wedding is ready, but they much were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage."
Does anyone would like to share what they have observe or what the Lord placed in their heart to be able to share their words on the two paragraphs that we just read? Maybe unmute your mic.
I would just like to share on the previous paragraph. In that section that you said, there, you said that you, it was the first time you had heard it. It was amazing to see that in that particular time, the same gospel that Christ was preaching to them, when he was crucified and resurrected, now the Holy Spirit was on the disciples, and they were carrying forth the same message by the power of the Holy Spirit. I thought that was powerful.
Welcome to all the dear brethren that is coming in. I'm just going to highlight where we are. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
The king's servants who went out into the highways gathered together all as many as they found, both good, bad, and good. It was a mixed company. Some of them had no more real regard for the giver of the feast than had the ones who rejected the call. The class first bidden could not afford, they thought, to sacrifice any worldly advantage for the sake of attending the king's banquet. And of those who accepted the invitation, there were some who thought only of anything themselves. They came to share the provisions of the feast, but had no desire to honor the king.
Amen. There is another section here that kind of brought to my memory that the same thing that happened in the past, it's the same thing that happened in today. In the previous paragraphs, the one that we read before, Brother Josh here, in this one where it says, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highway, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. When the Jewish nation was depositories of God's word in that time, to be able to bring the gospel to the world, and for rejecting Christ, they forfeit their ability to continue the work. The Lord called the disciple and he sent them out to the highway and the byway. Just bring it to the future. The SDA was also given to be depositories also for the word of God to prepare people. That's why they are called Advent, because they were trying to prepare a people for the second coming. And when they forfeit it as well by refusing the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead them, now the Lord is calling the remnant. The work that we have ahead is pretty heavy. And I really don't want to be able to be one of those that will not fulfill what the Lord wants for us to do. So I pray by God's grace that we will continue to be at His feet and allow ourselves to be like children and let the Holy Spirit lead us, because the work is going to be the one to close this whole history and controversy between Satan and Christ. And for the little that I have learned, it's going to take divine power to do this. And there is no way that nothing can come from us. But if we become co-laborers with Him and allow the Holy Spirit to move us, because we don't know heart, we don't know the events, but Christ do, praise God for the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of prophecy, that we may be able to allow to let Christ lead by holding His hand, that we may not become unprofitable servants in such a very expensive errand that we have as remnant people. And who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
When the king came in to view the guests, the real character of all was revealed. For every guest at the feast, there had been provided a wedding garment. This garment was a gift from the king. By wearing it, the guests showed their respect for the giver of the feast. But one man was clothed in his common citizen dress. He had refused to make the preparation required by the king. The garment provided for him at great cost, he disdained to wear. Thus he insulted his lord. To the king's demand, "How camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" He could answer nothing. He was self-condemned. Then the king said, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness."
By the king's examination of the guests at the feast is represented a work of judgment. The guests at the gospel feast are those who profess to serve God, those whose names are written in the book of life, but not all who profess to be Christians are true disciples. Before the final reward is given, it must be decided who are fitted to share the inheritance of the righteous. This decision must be made prior to the second coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven, for when he comes. His reward is with him to give every man according to his work shall be Revelation 22:12. Before his coming, then the characters of every man's work will have been determined, and to every one of Christ's followers, the reward will have been apportioned according to his deeds.
Thank If anybody would like to be able to share what they have seen or what the Lord has placed in your heart to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
I just want to, so the wedding garment is represented by the investigative judgment. Is that what's going on?
The wedding garment and the reason why we can't have our own or put it on the way we want to. The righteousness of Christ is a symbol of that wedding garment. And if there's any other brother or sisters that would like to share what it is that they have seen in the reading. But looking at that, just looking, when someone gets married, they are fitted for the dress. Sometimes in weddings, they have brides that need to lose weight, sometimes to fit that wedding garment. They need to be able to also allow everything to be beautified. But because we are not the one that measuring and we are not the one that is fitting, the Lord also, we know that in the Word of God, it says that fat is also a symbol of sin. The Lord is not only going to do the measuring, He's going to do the fitting, and also He's looking to see who is worthy to be able to become part of that wedding. And that the Father and the Son is also involved in it. So, this is the beauty of the plan of salvation. I thank God that we are not the one that is actually trying to fit ourselves in, because there's only one way and there's only one life and there's only one spirit that we all may be able to come. We all have something in common, and then we are all sinners. But the one that gave the gift of salvation is the one that died for us. So who would like to share what they have learned, or even for the question, our dear sister? Welcome to our dear brother Ron. Who would like to be able to share their ones? May you unmute your mic.
I would like to share is the thought that came to me, and it's the song "O Solemn Thought," and that has been heard many times before, and it is a solemn thought because we see that we are in that a moment in time, the investigative judgment. And in that time of when the call is coming concerning this paragraph, and we're all going to the wedding feast, there is going to be those who will seem to be like they are part of that company, but as the paragraph was showing, it is going to be discovered at that time that they are not wearing Christ's righteousness at all. They are wearing their own righteousness. Whether that's a righteousness that they feel they've gotten through wealth, whether they got it through association, whether they got it through popularity or things that they own, whatever the case may be, it is their own righteousness, and they have basically sniffed at the Christ and did not count it as anything worthy to be looked at all. I find that that is a very chilling time, because is going to be seen that even some of our own friends or loved ones who have professed love the Lord Jesus Christ, it is going to be seen that they really did not have a true love for Him. They made no preparation in their heart. They spent no time with our dear Savior in their own private time in study and reading. They did not give forth what they could to those who were weak or disabled or homeless, or even a glass of water, as the Lord had said, given to someone who thirsts, which I think is also a representation of the Word of God for a thirsty soul looking for relief from the torment and the discomfort of sin. If we withhold that, we are withholding life. Christ is our life. So I think that that's the kind of thing that comes to me. We are in that solemn time, and there's great self-examination to be done, because we don't want to be one in that in that group of the feast, and find out that we did not have Christ's righteousness wedding garment on us, but we had our own garment that we made with our own will, our own hands, and thought that we sniffing at the likeness of Christ, his beauty, his love, his mercy, his grace, is very powerful to me.
Thank you for sharing, dear brother. Who would like to take the next two paragraphs, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
It is while men are still dwelling upon the earth that the work of investigative judgment takes place in the court of heaven. The lives of all who professed followers pass in review before God. All are examined according to the record of the books of heaven and according to his deeds. The destiny of each is forever fixed. By the wedding garment in the parable is represented the pure, spotless character of Christ's true which Christ's true followers will possess. To the church it is given that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Ephesians 5:27. The fine linen, says the scriptures, is the righteousness of saints. Revelation 19:8. It is the righteousness of Christ, his own unblemished character, that through faith is imparted to all who receive him as their personal redeemer. Personal savior, excuse me.
So, dear sister, and everyone, and those that will be listening on the recording later, here it tells you that the fine linen, says the scripture, is the righteousness of the saint, but not their own righteousness, but it is the righteousness of Christ, his own unblemished character, that through faith is imparted to all who receive him as their personal savior. And who would like to take the next paragraph? In case, if you would like to be able to relate or share on what we have just read, you may unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
The white robe of innocence was worn by our first parents when they were placed by God in Holy Eden. They lived in perfect conformity to the will of God. All strength of their affections was given to their Heavenly Father. A beautiful soft light, the light of God, enshrouded the holy pair. This robe of light was a symbol of their spiritual garments of heavenly innocence. Had they remained true to God, it would have ever have continued to enshroud them. But when sin entered, they severed their connection with God, and the light that encircled them departed. Naked and ashamed, they try to supply the place of the heavenly garments by sewing together fig leaves for a covering.
Thank you, dear brother. Who would like to be able to share what they have seen in this particular paragraph? May you unmute your mic, dear ones. I would like to highlight the beginning of this paragraph. This kind of give a little bit more of how here we have our parents, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They did not know sin. But by yielding themselves, they became servant to obey. And that will be, you can be walking with the Lord at the time. Everything seems to be in harmony based on your understanding. But then when the enemy comes in like a flood, we have to hold on to the promises that the Lord had given us. Just like Adam and Eve would have had to hold on to the promises they was given. Because they may not no evil, but the Lord, which is Jesus and also the angels, they all had gave them the history of what happened to Lucifer and why did he fell. Notice that whenever it is that we love something more than God, we will have the same experience of our parents if we do so. Adam, this is just based on what I have observed. Everybody can see it in a different way. But he loved his wife. Yet, his love for his wife, also, he forgot that the love for God, if he would have went to God the way how Jesus went to his Father for us and was willing to place his life to be a substitute for what the wife had done. But instead, he decided to want to die with her. I have been asked so many questions with this particular issue when they said, but why did Adam did that? You know, why did he did that even though God had told him? It happened in every generation and different circumstances. God had gave his son to give the Ten Commandments in the ears of all of the people that were there. And they said, that you have said, that we shall do. But notice that when the enemy comes in to try the temptation, they have forgotten everything that the Lord had told them. It's the same thing with us. We have the spirit of prophecy. We have the Bible. We have all the patriarchs, the prophet. We have so many resources to draw from whenever we become tempted or weak or we have been pushed to the limit. And if we forget the promises, if we forget what the Father has said, if we forget what Jesus did when he was going through that, we will do the same thing. So I pray that the Lord will continue allowing the Holy Spirit to kind of shake us at the time when these things are happening. Because sometimes fear blocks and also guilt blocks, doubt, all of these aspiration that is Satan's. He does that because he wants us not to believe or trust God regardless of what it is. Sometimes we are going to do something that the world or even the people around us will not understand. But we have to be able to please God first. And if we make it with God in harmony, then the law will allow us to also have that with man in his own time. And not in our time. I just wanted to touch upon that. And if anyone would like to share their thought, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear one. And welcome to the dear family that are coming in. Who would like to take the following two paragraphs, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
This is what the transgressors of God's law have done ever since the day of Adam and Eve's disobedience. They have sewed together fig leaves to cover the nakedness caused by transgression. They have worn the garments of their own devising. By works of their own, they have tried to cover their sins and make themselves acceptable to God. But this they can never do. Nothing can man devise to supply the place of his lost robe of innocence. No fig leaf garment, no worldly citizen dress can be worn by those who sit down with Christ and angels at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Only the covering which Christ himself has provided can make us meet to appear in God's presence. This covering the robe of his own righteousness, Christ will put upon every repenting, believing soul. I counsel thee, he says, to buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Revelation 3:18.
That paragraph is our blessed hope. Who would like to take the next paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
This robe, woven in the loom of heaven, has in it not one thread of human devising. Christ in his humanity wrought out a perfect character, and this character he offers to impart to us. All our righteousness are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. Everything that we of ourselves can do is defiled by sin. But the Son of God was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Sin is defined to be the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:5 and 4. But Christ was obedient to every requirement of the law. He said of himself, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 48. When on earth, he said to his disciples, I have kept my Father's commandments. John 15:10. By his perfect obedience, he has made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandments. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged in his will. The mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness. Then, as the Lord looks upon us, he sees not the fig leaf garment, not the nakedness and deformity of sin, but his own robe of righteousness, which is perfect obedience to the law of Jehovah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If anyone would like to be able to share, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Just to note on the specification of the garment, and it says when we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. The will is merged with his will. The mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought unto captivity to him. We live his life. And this is what it means to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness. I thought that that was the specifications to get the garment. Amazing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Continuing, we are going to ask the next reader to read the next two paragraphs. May you unmute your mic to do so, everyone. Oops, sorry.
The guests at the marriage feast were inspected by the king. Only those who were accepted who had obeyed his requirements and put on the wedding garment. So it is with the guests at the gospel feast. All must pass the scrutiny of the great king, and only those are received who have put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. Righteousness is right doing. And it is by their deeds that all will be judged. Our characters are revealed by what we do. The works show whether the faith is genuine.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear Sister Dee. There's a question in the room. And our dear sister say, in living his life, do you become homeless too? Well, if you remember the life of the disciple, a lot of them had family, they had their home. But when the Lord had asked specific, because you know there were 12, and out of the 12, based on what the Lord had called them to do in their life, some of them didn't have a home because they had left the home to go wherever the Lord had led them. Some of them didn't. Some of them actually had their whole family. They were deacons. They were actual, you know, missionary. They were medical missionary. They were different type. It depends on what the Lord called you or called his people to glorify his name. Some will have homelessness. Some may not. It all depends on what the Lord called each individual to accomplish in their life. Will anyone would like to be able to also share to see if we can be able to help our dear sister with the question? May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
In Paul's life when he was not called yet by the Lord, he occupied a high position with the Sanhedrin, and he was an educated man of society, very highly educated. But when the Lord called him, it says that his profession became a tent maker. Now, I don't know with certainty that if he was homeless, but it says that he became a tent maker, and he attended his needs with making tents.
I had also thought also that in a way, we have certain things, whether it even be homes, other things too. As we come into service to the Lord in obedience and in self-sacrifice, in my thinking, in my heart, is like I really don't own anything for it all for the Lord's service, and he blessed me with it, yes. Just a store, whether it be a car or home or whether it be different tools for even the ministry. I cannot claim that it's mine in my heart, because in my belief is everything is the Lord. I guess in a technical way, it could easily happen when we have, you know, we become homeless, but yet I see it in another way where, well, you know, whoever the Lord says to place in my spare room or in my living room on an airbed or something, this is not my home to say that it is mine. It belongs to the Lord. However he wants me to use it, let my door be open for the purpose of the Lord. At least that's kind of my understanding.
If we look at the example of Christ, he said that he did not have a place to lay his head. And also it says that he did not own a place to live of his own, that he was, I guess, given hospitality by his followers and a lot of his disciples, wherever he went to give the gospel, they lend him courtesy to stay there. So he really didn't have a home to lay his head or call his own.
So, dear Sister Christina, I think they have let me just go into the text just a minute. I think there is something in the text. Let me just make sure. Oh, our dear brother Joel had got on the mic and did share, right? Okay, it says for those that are not able to see the screen or even in the chat and they are in other devices just by listening. It says, in a way, I believe that we do as we surrender that we have unto the Lord for his use as he please, remembering that we are only stewards of what we have, for we come into this world with nothing. Well, even though that the Lord didn't have a place to rest his head, yet he owns everything. And even though that sometimes you will find yourself that you won't have a place, you really have a home. In my personal experience, I always told my son that our home is where our heart was because of the way how we kept moving based on what the Lord wanted us to do. So it depends on each individual, dear sister. We can even see, I read also when Sister White started, and then there was somebody else too. I think he was either, it had something to do with, I don't know if it was Joseph Bate. There was another person also that is mentioned in the reading that I have. And if y'all could remind me, I'll try to find it. It says at the beginning, she really didn't have a home. And then after, when she continued doing the labor, homes came about after. And I think it's in Life's Catcher somewhere. But if somebody can remind me, I will try to bring where Sister White at the beginning. And there may be different people based on what it is that the Lord has. It really depends on what it is that the Lord has for them to be able to accomplish in their life. But when it comes to God, there is going to be a time that we are going to leave everything for Him. But it all depends on what each individual have to do. So that is just what it is that I can share. If anybody else would like to share to help this dear sister, may you unmute your mic to do so. Well, dear sister, when it comes to why we have to be in the country and why it's so important, remember that there is events and things that are going to happen, and the city is not going to be favorable for anyone when these things come and wishes are happening now. I remember, dear brother, I didn't even know I was going to do what I am doing right now. And I miss him so much because I met him in 2015. And 2015 convocation is the first time when I saw a lot of brothers like in person. And he also was a medical missionary at that time. And he said something to me. He said, if you are sent by God, you're going to know. And you're also going to know when you are not sent by God. When he told me that, I didn't understand what he was saying, because I was saying, wow, what kind of conversation we are having? But I didn't see the future. I didn't know why. But what this brother shared with me was very true. God is the one that is leading in saving and drawing everybody to Him. And sometimes we may want to go this way, but that's not the way the Lord wants us to go. And you will know when He don't want us to go that way. When I was reading the Spirit of Prophecy and the last day's event, I was in Wall Street. And when I was in Wall Street, while I was reading the book, I started to even get into the reading and realize that I was in the very center of where it was being said that the building was going to fall like domino. But I was in one of those buildings. My building was 115 gold that was right in the center of the Wall Street area. My anxiety was so high because I'm reading what's going to happen, but at the same time, I have to take it by faith that what I was reading were true. Do you know in 1993, when the Lord placed it in my heart, you have to leave, you have to leave. And I left. And do you know when I left, I was sitting in Mexico in a chair with my father. And when we were looking on the TV, we saw the first attempt that they did with the Twin Towers. But this one, they did it from the basement. And yet I was right here sitting down looking, and I was saying to myself, oh my God, something was going to happen. But because they didn't see that it came down, some people may think that it was not, but I started to share the last day's event book to be able to let them know that there was a reason why when the Lord tells us to leave, it is because it is a danger for his people, especially when the minds of individuals are turning to be a reprobate mind. That mercy that we usually will have to protect us, when the Lord tells us to do something and we don't, we get caught up. In the country, we have the freedom not to be victims of the circumstances at that time. We can raise our children. We can be able to do our garden. We can be able to still have the freedom to worship God freely. Because in the city, they have many laws and they have many different things that is not going to give us that freedom to do so. So there is a reason why we're supposed to get out of the city. I told my son, if we're not doing the work, we got to get out of here. And if we're doing the work, if the Lord wants us to be here for whatever reason, it is in God's hand. And I see Paul's life as well. There's so many different resources in the Bible to tell us what did the Lord brought us here for. It's in God's hands to do so. And the same way how he had drove us here to do the work, in my spirit, I'm praying that the Lord will do the same to be able to let us go out. But until that moment, I will say, dear ones, as my remnant family, pray for my son and myself. Pray for my family. Pray for all the family that are still in the city. Because we have to leave. But on the time that the Lord have appointed, it's not in our hands. I did the part that saying, go by faith. I went out. I even left the country. Well, the Lord brought me right here to do whatever it is that he has in store. So it's really in God's hand because he's the one that leads and not myself. In whatever it is, the Bible says to live is Christ and to die is gain. I just pray that I will not be an unprofitable servant is my prayer. Who would like to take the next two paragraphs, dear ones? And if there's anyone that would like to also share with our dear sister, please may you unmute your mic to do so. Go ahead, dear sister.
I would just like to share on that because looking back again on Paul's life, at one point when he was in the city and he was so eager to, you know, to preach the gospel, but they had started to hunt him down and want to kill him. And the only way that he was able to escape the city at that point was being let down in a basket over the city walls by his fellow workers and friends. And I just looked at that, just that little instance where he was let down, but there still were people being, serving the Lord and doing his work, being still there in the city while that persecution was still going on. So that's just one example of that.
Are suburbs the city also, or is that something?
Yes. If you have to depend on Walmart or the local grocery store for your food, you're not able to grow your own, you're in the city. You get outside where you can have a garden. If it's, well, the further out, the better. But the suburbs, my sister lives in the suburbs, and I've tried my best to get her to get out of there. But she said, I can grow my own food. Yeah, she's got a backyard about 20 by 40, and she grows a few things in there. It's not enough to survive, though, but, yeah, the suburbs is still city.
Yeah, dear brother, I agree with Brother Gray. It is it's still connected. Because even though that you are not in the main metropolis area where people work and they have different type of companies and things like that, the suburbs still have to go through certain area of the city to get out. So the suburb is not considered country. Country is where rural, where your neighbors is they have such a distance between you and them, you know. And for those that the Lord has opened a way for them to do so, they have many of our brethren here that are already in the country. I was raised as a country person, so I know what the country life is all about. But the only thing I didn't have is what it is that I have now, which is the knowledge that the Lord had given me. So whatever it is that the Lord wants to do in your life, just be faithful. In whatever manner that he calls you to be able to stand, just be faithful. So we have to pray for those that are here and those that are not here, but we still have to realize we are all one family. Sometimes some people are giving other tasks that is connected to their salvation. Just for instance, I just want to say, Joseph was raised with his father. He was trained. He was given all the attributes that he had, but he never knew that all those attributes that was given in that country home or in that area where he was going to be what he was going to use when he went to Egypt. He never knew he was going to be sold. He never knew that he was going to see his father. He never knew what was going to happen to his siblings. But the whole thing about it is that he was given to go there to develop the character and to fulfill what the Lord had in store in his life. I don't know what it is that the Lord is doing, but I'm going to cling to him in whatever manner that he called me to be able to do, because that's the only thing I can do. I can't fight God by constantly going out and then he bringing me in. God is not a God of confusion, but I do know that when the Lord established you, no one can remove you from that. A rural is, the houses are so separated from each other. They have like land in between. Sometimes it's separated enough that you have to, you can't see your neighbors. You can't see your neighbor through the window, like the way how we will see. If there's anyone that lives in the rural, because my rural back home, it might not be the rural here in America. So if there's anyone that would like to share that, dear ones, we are going to close with the comment that they are going to share with us. And we're going to pick it up by God's grace, leaving it for our dear brother when he comes back, which we miss very much. Right here where it says the truth is to be planted in the heart. Who would like to be able to share the rural knowledge and experience with our dear sister? May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
So is rural not really country?
It is country. That's why we have the instruction that if we do go to the country, it is best for us to be in a rural area where we don't have to be able to have the houses are so close. There's so many individuals that had actually said, come, you know, come over here. You know, we have this. And when I get there, the house is like Queens, you know, like the way how in Ohio, how it is to our, my sister's home, to the neighbor home, that is still too close. That's not considered rural. Rural will consider where, again, I will ask our dear brethren, if they are living in rural, they can be able to explain as in the distance. They have people among us that may be living in a rural area. Dear Sister Christina, by God's grace, I can't send you a picture on the text, so I can be able to show you based on what rural was in my area. And also, you can actually put in the engine when you have your time and just say rural and put it in whatever state. And they're going to show you exactly what rural is. Okay? So, dear one, we are, I'm so sorry if we were not able to fully answer your question, but then the best person that knows what rural is and where you're supposed to go is the one that's going to send you.
It's just me going back to how we're supposed to be like Jesus, but I'm like, Jesus was homeless, and I've already been homeless, and I don't want to go back to that.
It's not necessarily that. The law was just in his life showing us that he had given everything up for us. And by actually living the life that he lived, not one person is left out. Even the homeless, the Lord had also stood and died for. Because they have people that don't have no home. Right now here in New York City, they have a lot of people that don't have no home. They're literally living in the street. They actually don't want to go to certain homeless shelter because it's more dangerous to them in there than living in the street. So when we're talking about homeless, we're not talking about in a state of wretchedness. Some people may not have a home, but they have families that they can be able to go and stay with them, or friends. But when we're talking about homeless, the homeless that it is, that the law never really intended, if God's people, or even the people in the world, would have listened to what God said concerning, if they would have done what they did, we wouldn't have no poor. But because the rich want to stay with what they have, and they don't take care of what the law was saying to do, if you take care of me and I take care of you, notice nobody will be suffering. But if I hold what it is that I have and seeing you in a situation and don't help you, then I am the one responsible for not doing what the Lord say. I'm bringing suffering and poverty. So this is just what I will share, because there have people that do have means and help. Yeah, but look at the massive amount of need that they have. Okay, because they have rich people that had actually helped to the point that they became poor too. So it all depends on individual, dear sister.
Dear but sister.
Happy
Sabbath to everyone.
Bless you, sister.
For me, a rural, I give example of, remember the TV show, The House in the Prairie? That no one is around that house. And it's like Brother Bob just put in the text, there is farms, no towns around it. It's what is a rural is all about. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear sister. Well, we are going to stop here, dear ones. Just remind us that we start where it says the truth is to be planted in the heart. And that's a beautiful topic to start. We will be coming back at 3:12. Meanwhile, y'all could just have the break to move around, check, drink some water, hydrate, dear ones, until we come back. God bless. Okay, I'm going to just read what I have missed in the text chat. Our dear Elder, Brother Bob said, rural can be like farmland where there are no towns or store nearby, but you have to travel to them. And with that said, if you have your farm and you have your sustenance with what you have grown, I know this dear brother that had shared with me. His name is David. That he has come in here. He has a beautiful garden, and they sustain themselves by it. And, you know, they have different people. It all depends on what each individual has. And thank you so much, dear Brother Bob, and all the brothers and sisters that shared. They take on their testimony as well. If any one of the dear brothers would like to close our youth study with prayer, dear ones, may you do, by unmuting your mic. If we can all bow our heads and our knee as possible as we close our youth study. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come boldly before the throne of grace, we thank you, Lord, for the youth study. We hope and pray that what we have read and what we have shared, we can also come on our knees, Lord, and to inquire how and in what way we can be able to accomplish what you have asked us for. To become obedient, Father. You are the beginner and you are also the ending of our faith. We pray that we will not fight against the Spirit, but to do as it is that He's trying to be able to save us from our own self, Father. May you be with Elder Rob. May you continue to be merciful and bring him whole, Father Jesus, and ready to take back being the depositary of the word that you have given him, Father, and sharing with all of us. Help us that we can come at your knees and pray, dear Lord, asking that you may guide us, protect us, and to help us understand, not in our own will, but in your will, Father. Thank you for being with me for this three Sabbath, Father Jesus. As nervous as I am, Father Jesus, I just want to do what it is that you ask of me, and I will leave the result in your hand. Please be with the little ones. Please be with our youth. Please be with their parents. Please be with all the head of household. Help us, dear Lord, that we may not be stubborn or even disobedient and make a shipwreck at our own faith, because all the resources are there. If we do not make it, Father, it's going to be for our own reason, and it's not because you have done everything to be able to save us to the uttermost. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming. Forgive us for our Christ-like spirit, Father. We plead the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, is my prayer. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.